Welcome to the Spirituality What? Podcast, where we explore the mysteries, joys, and challenges of being spiritual beings navigating our unpredictable human experience we call life here on planet Earth. I'm your friendly guide, Rebecca, ready to jump into our adventure of the day. Welcome back to Wednesday. Welcome back to the Spirituality What? Podcast. Today we are dropping part two of our two-part episode on atheism and spirituality with my friends Brian and Bryant. We get into even more juicy topics today, talking about flat earth, the power of the subconscious mind, our perceptions, intuition. We even get to get into their unique takes on death and life and death in general and kind of everything in between. So this is going to be a fun one. Thanks for stopping in today, and we're just going to jump right in.
So those are the kind of things that I think I would worry about. But again, and I agree with Bryant that would it affect my everyday life? Yeah. No, but I think it would be so thought-provoking that it would consume a lot of my extra effort
free time.
Of thinking about, well, what if this? Well, what if that? Yeah, yeah. You know, how can we perceive the other Brian or the other Bryant? But again, we're also getting into the realm of speculation and conjecture about what is reality. Yeah.
And what explanatory power would that have?
Yeah,
What would that explain that we don't already have explained right now?
Yeah, and I think anyone who says definitively that they understand these kind of concepts, I think that they haven't thought hard enough about those concepts.
Yeah.
Because they're so abstract, I don't think we're at a level, whether you want to call it an enlightened spiritual level or a scientific level, where you can definitively say, I have quantified that we have, you know, XYZ timelines because of this, and that.
Irrefutable proof.
Correct.
And yeah. I think that also brings up an interesting, something that I've been thinking of a lot lately, is people's understanding of science. People love to go to the extreme ends of scientific knowledge.
Okay.
We want to know the interesting thing, like what happened before the Big Bang, or are there alternate universes or timelines? And if you read some of this scientific literature and you kind of, you know, look into these scientists and you listen to how they are making these discoveries and stuff like that, a lot of people don't truly have an understanding of how truly complex and deep science is. I think when somebody says a black hole does this and it emits some radiation, I don't think they have a true understanding of how did they come to that conclusion, when they will have hundreds of papers, hundreds of pages of explanation. They will have worked with mathematicians to create the complex mathematics behind all of this. And that's the reason why we would know that this happens. And I think that a lot of people will learn a little bit and then think that they can understand a lot more.
Okay.
They're overreaching.
Okay, so when you're saying, like, when the scientists do the research.
Right.
And they say this, it's just very different than just reading a little headline in the news, which is probably slightly different than what the article is actually about anyway.
Exactly. So I think you get into a lot of pseudoscience that will pop out of that. Like for me, with things like crystal healing, or maybe the vibrations that different things have, the frequencies of things. People will read these things and they will infer different things, like, oh, it, you know, vibrates like musical note or something like that, or maybe it can mean this more. If you're looking at the scientific paper or the scientist is doing the actual research, it is a completely different meaning. And their understanding is so deep and evolved in that it is almost impossible for any layman to understand. So we almost have to fall into these misunderstandings of them.
I also think that there are, So I'll give you a good example. Some of my job is teaching regular smart people to do a handful of things that very smart people do.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are enough very smart people that put out all this literature that's very accessible to the general public in a lot of ways. And then you have regular smart people who read them and interpret. And I'm not saying that they get it wrong, but it's very easy to come to logical conclusions based on information when you don't necessarily have the full picture. Mm-hmm. I mean, an empirical or peer-reviewed article doesn't necessarily have a guide that tells you exactly what everything means. There's a certain level of understanding that people already have to come into knowing it. And there's plenty of very smart people that can read that and can understand it that are not scientists, okay? Mm-hmm. That are not physicists and things like that. But I also think that, and to piggyback off what Brian said, is that I think that there's enough people that come to logical conclusions about things based on actual data that doesn't make any sense. And I'll give a very brief example. I step outside my house and I look in the horizon. Everything is flat. Okay. I get on top of a 3-story building and I look in the horizon. Everything is flat. I throw, a rock over a hill. Okay. And I can see it go and I can see it fall. It's like, well, gravity must be real. Okay. But the earth is definitely flat. I'm observing it. I'm seeing it. How can I not believe the earth is flat? Okay. I have come to a logical conclusion based on not having all the information in a full scope.
Yeah.
So does that mean that the people who believe in flat earth are stupid? No, it doesn't mean they're stupid. It just means that you're not seeing the full picture. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think people get very invested in an idea that isn't necessarily based on the full picture. And maybe they've done tons of research, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not some kind of confirmation bias. Maybe they don't understand, the full science behind it. Alternatively, they could be right.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to kind of filter out, well, what's true and what isn't, because again, I'm not a scientist.
And like you said, with coming to the conclusion that the earth is flat from looking around, that's an easy conclusion to come to. It's also an easy thing that you can set up an experiment, you can look it up, and then you can prove that it's round.
Correct.
Now, if you apply those same ideas and principles to something that is crazy more complicated, like, say, quantum mechanics, or the interactions of, atoms with each other, the amount of conclusions that you can come to are going to be so far away from the truth.
On your own.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Whereas, something as simple as looking out, noticing everything's flat, well, it's clearly flat, even though it's round, and that isn't apparent to you. Mm-hmm. How many things do you think you're missing when you're talking about these things like, oh, well, I know how the Big Bang worked.
Right.
Yeah, so I took a couple of notes here. So I was thinking about, this makes me think about intuition and feelings. In the context of, I don't have all the information, but I have a gut feeling. I have a feeling that the information is right, because we can't know everything. But the other thing I'm thinking is like, so what do you think about intuition? But then at the same time, I want to also mention, maybe we say I know too much. Those two words together. I know what happened before the Big Bang, as opposed to I have some beliefs, I have some thoughts, I have some conjectures. Whatever sort of implies that there's actually a little bit of unknowing there. But I think that I know sometimes comes from this feeling of intuition. And people use that. So what do you think about that?
Well, there's no intuition is an internal thing. It's an internal idea. It's a feeling that can come up, that can feel correct. But there is nothing external coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an intuition that this trail fork that I've never gone to, it goes left and it goes right, and I don't know where to go, I don't have a map, but I have an intuition that it's on the left. That does not mean anything. That is completely made up. There's no external something telling you, oh, I should probably turn left. That would just come into the whole idea of your brain's a chemical reaction. This is just something that's evolved for whatever purpose or reason, or maybe it just stuck around during evolution. And I don't think it means anything, because I think intuition will just lead you down a wrong path. And as long as it feels right, it's going to be the right path for you. When I think the real answer would be, let's collect some more information and let's come to a logical conclusion rather than following intuition.
So this is where we're going to disagree.
Oh, yes. Let's see.
So I think in a lot of cases, I do agree with Brian that intuition is it can be a, just a misguided kind of belief of, you know, is you come to a logical conclusion that isn't necessarily logical. However, I also think that intuition is an evolutionary kind of product of a complex mind.
Okay.
So what do I mean by that? Say, for instance, I'm walking down a trail, and I'll use your example, and there's a left and a right. My brain is taking in a lot of information that I am not necessarily consciously aware of.
That's very
true. So my intuition, maybe my subconscious has taken in a lot of information that I may not be able to articulate, formulate in a way that I can verbalize it or consciously think, but my brain is saying, I think I should go left. And maybe it's because as I was walking that trail,
I saw something
in the distance. I noticed the position of the sun. The clouds were moving in a certain direction. I believe that that is the way to go because I've put together tiny bits of information that have led me down that path. Yeah. Intuition will keep you safe when you're walking, choosing a dark alley or going down a lit road. I don't necessarily think intuition is going to give you the secrets of the universe.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
I think it's much more primal and kind of primitive in that sense.
So really, really quickly, isn't there like a statistic or something that says that your brain, like you can only consciously perceive like 6% of the data that's like input or something? It's like a really small number.
No, I think that's what they based the whole movie Lucy off of.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah.
Movie.
But no, I think that's, that was just a...
That's not real. Okay.
Yeah,
you use all of your brain.
And it's almost impossible to measure a percentage of the brain being used. You have to come up with a definition of 100% of brain usage.
Okay.
I think it's just working the way it works all the time. I'm sure some parts don't get fired as much as others, but as far as us being able to measure that that only 6%.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think that there is an idea that, okay, just for example, I'm looking around this room. I am not perceiving everything in this room. Well, you're looking at everything in this room, but I'm not conscious of everything that's going on in this room at that given moment because I can only take so much information at a time. And I'll give you an example. My wife is very perceptive. If I move something out of the way, she's like, hey, that thing has a home. Why is it over there? And it's one of those things that some people are very perceptive. I, on the other hand, am perceptive about things, but not to that level. And I think it's not only a skill that can be learned, but I don't think it's something that necessarily is what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think there's anything that can just suddenly make your brain work at 100%. Your brain is always doing the best it can in that very moment. I believe that you can train your brain to be better at certain tasks at the detriment of others. Mm-hmm. So there have been a lot of studies that there's no such thing as actually multitasking.
Correct, yeah.
People that are good at multitasking are actually just good at diverting some of their intentions on some things and some of their attention on multiple things at once. Mm-hmm. But if you were to try to do two things at the same exact time, you're not necessarily going to perform just as good at the other as you would at this. And again, it comes down to some people are better at some things than another. It is a trained behavior that I think can be cultivated, and some people are just naturally better.
Trained perception.
But correct. I think my argument is if you can either go off of intuition or you can stop and then use some prevalent logic thought and look around, gather the information, that will always get you the better answer than intuition. But I do agree that, you know, you do have the subconscious I'm not thinking about the temperature of the room in here.
Yeah.
But
totally.
If it gets hot, I will I'm going to be conscious that the temperature is changing.
Yeah.
Even though that's just being monitored subconsciously by myself. And that in that way, intuition can be used.
Okay.
But I think if you stop and then you can use your logic or collect the information yourself, I think that will always be better.
So what I'm hearing you say then, Brian, is that it's the, like, and kind of combining with what you said, I think, Brian, it's the, like, bringing to the surface awareness from the subconscious is really what you're saying.
Right.
Like, yes, it's there. Some people might call that intuition. Yeah. And your perspective is like, well, it's just there. You're just maybe not aware of it. So you need to kind of bring it into your awareness.
And I think Brian's right where, you know, mundane things, you can just use intuition all day long. you know, if you're like, oh man, it looks like it's not as steep of a slope if I walk on this side of the trail versus this side. Mm-hmm. That I don't think you really have to use that much thought of. You can just use your intuition and you can go towards it.
You might just want to know.
Yeah.
And to kind of go back on the kind of spiritual path, a lot of times you'll hear sometimes people say, well, God kind of guided me in the right direction. Mm-hmm. You know, the spirits definitely showed me exactly where I was supposed to go and where I was supposed to be. They made sure that I avoided XYZ person because they would not have been good in my life.
Sure.
I think that that is intuition. And it comes back to what I said about learning things. So, for example, a psychologist knows human behaviors, but they were taught that. They learned it. Mm-hmm. They cultivated it. But there are some people, and I'm going to use my wife again for an example. She's very good at understanding people, but she does not have a formal psychology background in the sense where she was in a brick and mortar institution. Yeah. So she understands those concepts without having to understand those concepts in the sense in an academic setting. Mm-hmm. So yes, in that way, intuition guided her, but there's nothing spiritual, even pseudo spiritual about that. There was no hand of God on your shoulder saying, you know,
I have this power now.
You have this power. I'm going to show you the right way. I'm going to guide you. That's all you. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's nothing more to it than that.
And I think to that point, all of your human experiences, all of the things that you do every day and all the things that you learn change your perception. So you go from a particular state where you don't recognize that moving something from one place to another is, you don't even recognize it, to a state where now you do recognize it, right? And so that your perception is always changing. I'm just thinking about, like, you know, when people become like spies, like, you don't just know how to be a spy, right?
Right.
When you're growing up, and maybe, I don't know, maybe you're a sneaky kind of kid or something like that, but like, it's, there's a lot of things that you have to learn. But then, you know, when you see spy movies and things like that, then they have all of these skills that they carry forward in different parts of their lives, which are the same skills, but their perception is now different because they've cultivated all of these particular skills.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, when you talk to somebody and you just kind of get a feeling of their personality, I think that's a lot of intuition too.
It's past experiences.
Right. You're noticing the same thing. It's all coming together.
Yeah. You're noticing those small nuances of people in your past.
Subconsciously or consciously. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Correct. Mm-hmm. Where it's like, ooh, you know what? I recognize that I didn't like those traits in that other person.
So I'm going to trigger a feeling.
It's going to trigger this kind of feeling, this understanding. And while you may not consciously perceive it, your mind is still taking in that information and saying, no bueno.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would also argue that can work against you too. Like irrational fears and stuff, you know. People who have been, like, say, attacked by a dog in the past or something like that.
Sure,
you kind of get this,
phobias,
like,
you
can get startled.
Triggers, traumas.
Right, things like that. That might also be from intuition. Or I'm just completely talking past my knowledge. Either one.
Hey, that's what we do here.
Yeah.
We just shoot the shit
for
an hour and feel good about it afterward. Okay, so I did want to ask something, and I put this in the notes, and I don't like how this question is formed, but I don't really know how to ask it in a different way, which is, I feel like some people could say, or would say, being a spiritual person gives me XYZ benefits of my life, or gives me direction, or improves me as a human. So my question was, what does being an atheist do for you?
Can I start?
Does that make sense? Does that question make sense?
So I'm not trying to speak for Bryant, but I have a feeling he may have a similar answer.
Most likely.
It is very empty because you have accepted nothingness.
Okay.
But I also think that there is a sense of comfort in knowing that a lot of the things that are around you that people kind of incorporate in their life, these strict kind of boundaries about, you know, going to church every Sunday and having to practice particular rituals and things like that, those things don't apply to me because I don't have this overwhelming fear or even joy of the idea of heaven or hell. It's a non-factor. And people are like, oh, that must be depressing. Well, you know, sometimes if you think about it, it's like, it does suck. But then I'll be dead, so what do I care? Because the concept of caring will cease to exist.
Right.
So while you're living, leading up to that moment can be anxiety inducing.
Okay.
But once it happens, like, whatever, you're dead. So there's no even concept of whatever. It's nothing.
Right. Yeah. And so I think that goes into a lot of like the ideas of you know, the big question, the meaning of life. And for us, there is none.
There is none.
I would assume, right? There is no meaning to life. The only meaning to life is the meaning that you create yourself.
Okay. Right? So there's no bigger picture meaning.
Correct.
Is what you mean when you say that. And I was like, you have a meaningful life. You're making me worried about you.
No, I fully agree. No, I have a wonderful life. I have plenty of meaning in my life. But outside of a human mind, none of that exists. Mm. Right? And I think, honestly, that gives a lot of rise to going back to the whole idea of humanism, which is we are all in a meaningless world. The only meaning that we can possibly get is from each other, our own experiences, each other's experiences. So rather than trying to please something that might not exist, say, you know, a spirit world or say God or anything like that, a set of rules that you must live your life by, the rules that we have to live our lives by are the rules that make our lives the more meaningful, that make our lives better. And I think that's an important part to it.
Yeah, I want to find fulfillment in my life, not because I feel that there's some reward, but I want to live my life in a good way because the people I care about exist and I exist.
In this, we're touching each other existence.
In a tangible way. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I'm not a sociopath. If I really believed in nothing and I cared about nothing, you know, I would
might
take,
have some problems.
I would take advantage of the people around me. It's like, well, what does it matter? Because I'm, you know, when I'm dead, I'm just going to be oblivion. Yeah. But the journey is a very important
part.
It's
an experience.
It's the only experience I'm going to have. Mm-hmm. So I want to enjoy it while I still have consciousness to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to enjoy the journey because the destination is literally falling off a damn cliff.
Yep. And I totally agree. I think, like, for me, the thought of death, terrifying. I do not want to die at all. I want to live as long as live physically possible.
Interesting.
Yeah, if they come up with a live forever potion, I'm taking that.
All right, okay. So you said death is terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Which is that, would you use that same
verbiage? I find the idea of leading up to death terrifying, but I have a feeling that the moment I've accepted that I'm going to die, I will be completely at peace.
I fully agree.
Because I know...
But you know right now that you're going to die.
Right, but there's still this human perception that I could potentially live forever. It's like when you're 15 years old and you think you're invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you don't realize that your time is up until it starts getting to that time.
Sure.
So, and
like
and,
in a real, more real sense as opposed to
correct.
What I'm referring to, which is like, we're all going to die
and like,
at some point.
Like for me, growing up, you know, as a kid, like I said, I never believed in any God or an afterlife. I was very into science. So I kind of had a snotty explanation for everything that someone would
that
come
tracks.
Up.
That tracks.
Even if I didn't realize I was arguing against religion, I would just be explaining how things work. And I had some major crises about dying because, you know, like it's the same thought, you know, when I was 12, it's like before you were born. It's just nothing. I'm like, if I walk out and a car hits me, my experience ends. I just don't experience things anymore. It's done. And it's still something that I grapple with. But
it's very interesting.
I think the thing that a lot of people kind of infer with talking about the idea of like, basically the label that a lot of this is given is the kind of idea of like universal nihilism. Right.
Okay.
It's just kind of the idea that nothing has a meaning outside of the human mind. Right. Like, if this planet explodes, the next planet over won't know it's good, bad, any meaning existed at all. Yeah. Nothing is lost in the galaxy. Right. And for me, though, I think a lot of people miss the idea that just because there is no meaning doesn't mean we're experiencing anything separate. Doesn't mean I'm losing anything. We're all living the exact same rules. We're all living the exact, in my belief, the exact same godless world, the exact same meaningless world, and we're all having the same experiences. I'm still having joy. Other people are having joy. Yep. People with
God. We're having
God.
Shared experiences and shared feelings and shared all of that.
Right. Yep. We're all human, and we're all having these experiences, and that doesn't change just because I don't believe that there's a meaning outside of this, or that there's no physical connection to us.
Yeah.
We're still experiencing joy, and that does exist in our mind.
It doesn't diminish your joy.
Either. Correct. Yeah, it doesn't diminish anything.
I hope it doesn't.
Right. Whereas I think a lot of people, you know, if you have this, like, this God that constantly loves you and you love this God, you're like, how could you be without this? And you're like,
I just am.
There is no God. We're both experiencing the same thing. Mm-hmm. So nothing changes, mm-hmm. if you believe it or not.
Mm-hmm. I think people that are very religious, and again, I'm not trying to speak negatively on them. But
We definitely don't, right? We're judgment-free here. We're just having conversations.
But I think it is, having a very strong religious belief, I believe, is a safety net.
I think it can help people. And we've talked about that before.
I don't necessarily think it helps people.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I think that it helps people in the sense that it does create a safety net. And I think humans are hardwired to believe that because we're so complex that, well, can this be the end? Mm-hmm. Is this the end? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people will argue, well, of course not. And there's a lot of different beliefs. And, you know, whichever one you subscribe to, you know, great. That's fine. But I do think that on a lot of levels, regardless of how beautiful or terrifying oblivion and death is, it's still more comforting than nothingness while you're alive. Because
even the idea of hell, you're still experiencing things.
It's some kind of experience. Exactly.
That would be arguable. Yeah. But it is a different idea.
Yeah. So we are pretty close to time. So I wanted to just, this has been really interesting conversation. And as everybody could tell, we can continue and we might have to have another one of these. But do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to finish with?
I'll just finish with, and this is kind of a new concept I'm going to briefly bring up to kind of wrap it all up. And I think this can apply to not only your beliefs, not only your morals, but literally every single part of your life, and that is skepticism.
Healthy skepticism, for sure.
I apply skepticism to everything, and there is nothing you shouldn't be skeptic about. Mm-hmm. And I think if you can live your life with the ideas of skepticism, you're going to come closer to the truth and happiness than I think others without it.
Okay. Brian, you have any final thoughts?
Well, one, I agree with that. And two, I think that as an atheist, and it, whether you're an atheist or you're not, I think it's very important to respect other people's beliefs even when you don't believe them. Mm-hmm. So my wife and I have there is a chasm between our belief systems. But I respect what she believes. And she came to those beliefs, how I perceive it, through knowledge, experience. She's a very smart woman, probably she's the smartest person I know.
Yeah.
So I don't fault her for coming to those conclusions. Would I have come to the same conclusions if I had her experience? Maybe I would.
Possibly.
But my experiences have dictated something else, and I have to respect her journey as much as she has to respect mine. Mm-hmm. And while there is, again, this metaphorical chasm between a lot of people and their beliefs, I think it's important to kind of wave every now and then and acknowledge the person on the other side, because it can be very lonely to kind of have your beliefs and people have others, and there's no kind of middle ground.
Yeah.
Because the reality is that Bryant and I are in what I would consider a very small camp, and there are not a lot of middle grounds. Mm-hmm. So respect, you know, your fellow humans, and sometimes they'll piss you off, and sometimes you won't agree with them, and sometimes you just have to bite your tongue and look at your friend and say, that sounds crazy.
Yep, you just gotta whisper in the other ear, what is that bad shit?
Well, this was awesome. Thank you guys so much. We are going to put a poll and some Q&A in the Spotify episode, so that we'll give you an opportunity to put any questions that you might have for Brian and Bryant, and I will relay those back, and that might even drive some potential topics for another episode. So thank you guys so much for your time today.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That wraps up our atheism and spirituality episode. Thank you all so much for listening to the Spirituality What podcast. I really appreciate it if you could do me a favor this week and just tell one person that you know that you haven't yet talked to about this podcast, about the podcast. I would really appreciate it. Feel free to interact with me as well through email, spirituality.what@gmail, through the website. I also have an Instagram, so if you aren't following on there, go check it out. We'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me on today's Spirituality What? Adventure. Subscribe, rate, review, and share this podcast. Visit us on Instagram at spirituality.what to interact, tell us what spirituality means to you, and even provide some of your own personal musings. Human on, you phenomenal spiritual beings.